on a very chilly Monday morning and come and meet Joanne, who is the proprietor and a chef at Queen's Head. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
It's nice to see you. Yes. And we thought we'd just have a little chat about some winter warmers. And actually, we've just been talking about a kind of old, a new twist on an old favourite, haven't we, Joanne?
Yeah, I'm not too sure how old it is and how far it goes back, but it's a traditional Scottish dish, which for me says it's probably not very good for you because it's full of fat, animal fat. But I think that if you take things in small quantities and it's a balance, then it works. So we're talking about mealy pudding, which is based on oatmeal and suet. And everybody thinks suet, oh no, fat, but you can use vegetarian suet, so makes it a little bit better. And you also add onion, which makes it more savoury. You actually make the pudding, and then when it's made, you break it up into small pieces, little nuggets, and then toss it with things like smoked salmon, smoked mackerel, new potatoes, which have obviously been cooked, spring onion. Toss them all together and serve it warm, and
it's like a crumble, but sort of mixed up together, and then you warm it up in the oven.
Yeah, pop it under the grill.
Once it's
done, so you don't have to eat it all at once. You can just break bits off it.
But doesn't have cheese or anything like that?
No, but it could.
Could do. Yeah. It's very versatile. Yeah. And people presumably could find a recipe for mealy pudding on the internet.
Yeah.
But it made me think that when we were little, my mum would do a suet pudding, you know, like in a dish, like a pizza, only a small one, only it was thick and puffed up. And we'd have a slice of that with our roast beef or any roast. And my dad always would have a slab of it with custard and jam for pudding as well. No wonder he's gone.
Where was this?
I grew up in Suffolk.
Right.
But suet, you see, my mum's heritage, her parents were both from Middlesbrough.
Right.
So I wonder if there's a sort of Yorkshire come northern twist on that.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Yeah. But that is a winter warmer, isn't it?
But I didn't like suet when I was young.
Oh, and now, I love it. Yeah. A suet crust on a steak and kidney or a game pie.
Yeah.
So people say put puff pastry on a game pie, not me. I put a suet crust on.
The suet.
Oh, yeah.
Dumplings and things like that.
The other thing I've been doing as a winter warmer, and this is a pudding, and this is frozen berries with a white chocolate sauce poured on the top.
Right.
And it's just like really cheers you up. It's a really nice.
Yeah, that's a good one because it's sweet and a bit sour.
That's right. Yeah it works
I actually was going to talk about sticky toffee pudding because it is a traditional one, but things like what you've just mentioned, the berries and things, I think sometimes in the winter people get a little bit fed up of stodgy pudding, so yours is bringing a little bit of summer into winter and making you warm as well and probably putting a smile on the face.
Well, it certainly does. Actually, there's two things I was going to ask you, or one comment I was going to make. And the funny thing is that if you think about how expensive fresh blueberries and stuff are, particularly at the moment, because of course they're not seasonal, they're being flown in on all those air miles. But if you buy a frozen bag of fruit, I'm not saying it's cheap, but it's a lot cheaper, you get a lot more.
Oh, you do.
And that's really, because this works really well, and you're still getting all your vitamins and your part of your fiber a day. But what you might be able to help me with is, I had this in a restaurant, the fruit with the hot chocolate white sauce poured over. But the way they did it, you get this wonderful crack when you pour it over. I'm anxious about overheating the chocolate so that it's, you know how it goes grainy.
White chocolate does for some reason.
White chocolate sauce works really well with the fruit.
Yeah.
But I've tried it, you can heat it up more. I mean, I've done it with cream, just melt it together and you can get that a bit hotter.
Maybe put a little bit of liquid in. And alcohol.
Do you think that would hurt?
I do, yeah. You can maybe try something like Malibu that's clear, and you're going to get the coconut, which will go with the fruit.
Malibu and white chocolate. Okay. Yeah? It sounds like that's taking me back to
peach
70s
snaps.
Discos.
Oh, peach snaps. Peach snaps. Anything that's clear and maybe got a little bit of fruit in it, and then it just enhances it, because you don't want to spoil the colour of your chocolate.
You must have seen trends come and go over the years, and things that people really focus on, like you said, sticky toffee pudding is a big favourite.
Yeah, it's huge. I wasn't going to talk about this, but we've got banana split on at the moment.
That's really retro.
Yeah, and I think if it's well done, people say, crikey, I've never had one of those for years. you know, so things like that that we do just brings back memories a lot of the time, and it works.
I'm sure there are certain things that people just never want to relive, like school dinners, cabbage and stuff like that, but things like banana split takes you back to happy memories of holidays and knickerbocker glory.
Yeah, that's another one. Things like that. I mean, we've been trying to do different things with beetroot at the moment.
I love beetroot. We've got
a chocolate beetroot brownie on at the moment, which is a bit of a twist. And you make icing from the beetroot juice, so
it's a bright colour.
Yeah, it's a bit psychedelic. So it's just a bit of fun as well, and it's a twist on an old.
So do you grate beetroot into the chocolate brownie mix then?
You whiz it up.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, you whiz it, and you dice part of it. So the bit that you've whizzed, you then strain the juices from that to get the beetroot juice to make the icing. Yeah. So that's, and that's five a day as well, and it's naturally sweet, and I think people get into their heads it's got to be pickled, and it
I hate pickled beets.
Yeah, and it doesn't. We actually boiled some in orange juice. I think it was last week, to do on a salad, and then just sliced it very thinly, which was nice.
Actually, a winter salad that I've really enjoyed, it's more like a coleslaw, is grated raw beetroot with celeriac, and maybe some carrot, and then, you know, the usual things that you might want to put into a coleslaw,
and it's celery and things
it's really tasty. I'd have a little bit of chili, and cumin works really well with it, ground cumin.
We've actually had a baked beetroot on.
I've never had baked beetroot.
You basically just bake it like a big potato, so it's chop its bottom off. You need a decent size one, and when it's roasted, just cut it into four like you would a jacket potato. And we've been filling it with things like ricotta, with maybe cumin, and then sliced oranges on top.
Oh, lovely! I can imagine creme fraiche going well with it as well.
So it is another winter warm.
But actually, you highlight something which is a bit of a problem this year, because of course the vegetable harvests have been poor with all the terrible weather, and my own beetroots in my garden, they're about the size of, I don't know, a Malteser, I think.
Everything I've tried to grow this year has blown away. I've got a spicy turnip soup.
Sweet, what I call swede, you call turnip, and the Scots call meeps, yes?
Yes, yeah.
Ah, so what do you do with a swede soup? Well, that's interesting.
And it's quite cheap to do, actually, because, you know, obviously turnips well in season at the moment. And we do it with coconut milk.
Okay, so a Thai twist.
A little Thai twist and chilli, and it really works. So you basically sweat off your turnip with onions. And add some vegetable stock, and then just blend it down, add the coconut milk, and
quite fancy that. Sweet soup's a good one, actually, because as you say, it's quite
it's thick, and it's very warming and very filling.
Yes.
Another one I've got, which is a local produce, is crab.
Yes. Well, of course, we've got the Berwick shellfish boys over the river here.
The crab meat, the white crab meat, we do a warm white crab meat, and what we do is mix up a mayonnaise with spring onion, cumin, maybe a little bit of orange juice and seasoning in there. Add that to the crab meat and then warm it through. Add a touch of cream and then grate some Parmesan cheese on top.
Ooh.
And then just serve it with hot buttered toast.
Well, that sounds nice.
It's warm, that's so the key to it. So you're dipping in. It's nice with tortilla crisps as
well. Yeah, so like a dip, nice.
So, yeah, that's another one.
Go on then, what else have you got on your little list? I'm salivating.
I felt I had to mention curry because I don't know if you know, we've got a new chef from Kenya.
Oh, have you? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, so we're using local pheasants.
Well, there's plenty of those about, aren't there?
Well, yeah. Scottish pheasants with a Kenyan curry. I don't know.
But it works. And do you just use the breasts then? Do you just take the breasts off the pheasants?
We make stock from the leg meat.
Yeah.
We've used it for other things. We've made terrines, and we've also got pheasant breast on with winter vegetables.
Mm. One of the things I've done with pheasant, which again actually is quite a nice winter warmer, although it's cold, is potted pheasant with gin and juniper berries.
Right.
And it works really well.
That makes
it so delicious. Yeah. I mean, it's quite a long process doing proper potted meats, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, I quite enjoy that sense of doing something over a couple of days because you have to cook it for long.
But the thing with that as well, it's preserved and it keeps. Mm. It's not something that you have to think, oh, I've spent all that time and I've got to.
Yeah, and you end up scraping it into the bin. I mean, and that's a big deal these days, isn't it? The waste of people just.
I think the old ways can be a lot better.
So have you got another pudding for us, perhaps?
I've got bread and butter pudding, actually.
Oh, now, that's an old favourite, isn't it?
Mm. Which, it's very versatile, isn't it? And obviously, when it was first made, I suppose, it was using up all the ends of the
bread. Stale bread,
using up bits of milk, bits of fruit, anything can go into a bread and butter pudding. Mm. And for some reason, it's very popular and very traditional, and that worked.
Because, I mean, bread and butter pudding has sort of had various renaissances, hasn't it? Because you've had the chocolate bread and butter pudding, which is nice, but very rich. Panettone bread and butter pudding, which does work very well as well.
Yeah.
And so there are a number of twists that one can do on
A lot of people use croissants.
Yes.
If you've had croissants for breakfast and they've not gone down too well, then, you know,
chop them up, tip custard over them, chop them in the oven.
Yeah. And the other thing with it is, who wants custard, who wants cream, who wants ice cream? Everybody is so different. So, you know, we have to offer the three. You can't say, well, it's bread and butter with custard and that's it, because traditionally people, you know, some people wouldn't have
anything. I accept people are allowed to choose jam, but if they don't choose custard, they're wrong. That's all I'm saying. I mean, obviously.
If I had to have it would be custard.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. One thing I haven't got down here is treacle sponge, and if I was going to have a pudding, that would be probably the only one I would choose.
Treacle sponge.
Custard.
Now, I love a proper steam sponge.
Yeah.
Just one more thing, because that's another winter warm. For me, ginger is a real winter warmer, and I quite often grate ginger into my soups.
Right, yeah.
You know, because it just gives a different flavour and a warmth that isn't the same as the chilli kick.
No, it's not.
And the other thing is that you stem ginger, you can make a lovely ginger steam pudding.
Yes.
Ooh, ginger and lemon. And beautifully.
From my roots in Yorkshire, I should be talking about parking, shouldn't I?
Oh, yes.
Really? We do have a parking pudding on that I do sometimes. And we make parking biscuits.
Which is the dark gingerbread, sort of, which is more like a cake, really. But
but you can make it into a pudding and you can add banana and things like
using
that.
Using wonderful dark treacle.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And the really dark muscovado sugar. All the things that are so
delicious. One of the reasons they're bad for us, perhaps, is that these days, I mean, portions are just much bigger, aren't they now? Don't you think?
Perhaps, but I think it's all in the balance. I think everything's good for you if it's balanced.
Yeah.
I think, going back to school dinners, and I loved my school dinners. I did.
Uh-huh.
I think you had breakfast, lunch and dinner in those days, and you were lucky if you could have a biscuit in between and, you know, a treat.
Yeah, but now we all sort of eat, there's crisps, there's biscuits, there's chocolate, there's sweets, everything is possible and available.
And the balance is gone, and I think that's the problem with a lot of things.
If you offer children a piece of fruit for pudding, they don't really necessarily think that's pudding, hence
but
my invention of my winter
batter. So you're getting the best of both, so you're balancing it, aren't you? It's a bit of trickery, really, isn't it? So if you've not had haggis and you've not had black pudding and you didn't like it when you were younger, you should try it again. And introduce it with different things like bacon. I mean, majority of people like bacon, don't they? And they go so well together. Mm. Nice poached egg. Put a bit of a Mediterranean twist with balsamic, and, you know, bring things together. Put something that you definitely like with something that you're not sure about, that, you know.
And see how it works.
Yeah. And everybody's palate changes over the years, doesn't it?
Does it? Yes.
Yeah. going from when you're young and having two sugars and milk in your tea, you know, to black.
Yes.
I think people's palates change. Yeah,
that's really interesting. Yeah, so keep trying things.
Yeah, do keep trying things. Because it does develop.
In some ways, cooking is a little bit like music. Because, you know, so much music has its roots in various parts of the world.
Yes.
And then, you know, you take something like jazz or blues and it gets a twist from here and a twist from there. And we get sort of a new sound or a slightly different sound.
I think we're very lucky in England. I mean, people will say, what is a traditional English dish? And probably 99% of people would say roast beef dinner. And it's not, because we're an island. We get so many things coming in from different parts of the world, so we're so lucky that we have our homegrown veg. You get all these different flavours coming, you know, from different parts of the world.
Yeah, a really cosmopolitan sort of sense, which keeps, I think, keeps cooking alive and keeps menus alive and keeps us excited about cooking and having winter warmers and looking forward to that.
Brought the potatoes and all the spices from different parts of the world, you know.
Well, we go back to Elizabethan times, aren't we?
Exactly, yeah, with Walter Raleigh and things like that, you know. Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant.
Because they, I mean, if they didn't sail, if they didn't do it, we wouldn't.
Well, of course, a lot of those spices and stuff were originally used to mask the fact that the meat was rotting. You know, so you've got nutmeg and spices that covered that
up. To preserve, I really, truly don't know what is traditionally English.
No, but we do know what we like as winter warmers, and that was a lovely little taster of some of the things that people can cook. And
perhaps you could, I don't know, maybe have people phone in tweet about what is traditionally English.
Traditionally English, yes. Well, we'd love to. We always love to hear from people. Yes. So is it lunchtime?
There you go. That's Joanne from the Queen's Head in Berwick.